having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is hope, what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, Ephesians 1:18. Reject the righteous one. That's extreme though, isn't it? The reason you are saved, forgiven, redeemed is because of him. And righteous being within the child, I'm still humble, I'm crawling, I'm learning. I haven't progressed within that mindset. Do we ever reach the point where we go all the way to the top? Seated at the right hand of the Father, if you would. Well, it takes some time to get to that point. It must. The rejection of the author of life. Somebody's been writing this down. The word choice, it's so clever, right? The author of life, the individual who's wrote it, the individual who's given it. Not creature taken, but God given. We find ourselves at that mindset. I had a conversation last night. I returned home from work and I walked in and I was telling somebody how I think that life is going great. I'm seeking God. I'm seeking Christ. I'm planning on having fulfillment. I don't think that I've ever had these two individuals in my life where they needed to be. And the response was, the grass isn't greener on the other side. And I stopped for a second as I was gasping for air. I was just flabbergasted. I couldn't believe at what I had heard, what I had witnessed. And I said, whoa, stop. I said, stop. I said, it's okay if you don't believe in Christ, if you don't believe in the saving, the forgiveness and what he's offering and what he's got to provide. I said, but stop hating. I want to surround myself with individuals that are forgiven, that are redeemed, that are saved, that they have the bountiful harvest expectation coming from our Savior and Redeemer in their life, not individuals that are doubting it because of creatures' wants and needs. I think it's a factual basis in this world. You have those in your life that are continuing to save, to redeem, to be where they want to be. I don't think that you have anything to worry about. You're capable of giving thanks, repenting. You don't cross certain lines. Life goes on. You're very thankful to have that, right? But shall you be removed from that and no longer it's God given, but now it's creature taken and you exist in that world? Well, truly, you don't have anything. So I think that the morale is, and some would say it's a lesson, arguably, it's a lesson about eternity and about having fulfillment in this world. You'd be surprised those that are blessed in different ways in this world, they definitely have a different code of conduct that they follow. So I think that one of the morales, if you would, or one of the bold facts that we have in this world is with God, you have everything. And it's abundance of everything. We're reminded of that in the scripture. But without God, you have nothing. Absolutely nothing. You'll have certain entities, but it all leads to nothing because it ends up being the Achilles heels or the kryptonite that actually stops the heart. Reason why is because you're not ready for it. You're not prepared for it because you're not putting it back within his hands or back to where it belongs. I think a relevant notion of no means no. At every location and every demographic, and no is going to mean no until the end of life, shall you choose to have it to where no means something else? Well, then I think that's the abrasiveness. The measure and score that you use for somebody else will be the same measure and score that is used back to you. A good reference, naturally, but we need to be reminded of that biological clock ticking, and there really is nothing else. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tested the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit. It is impossible for those who have been enlightened. Well, each and every one of us has had breath of life put within us. So we have been enlightened, who have been tested by the heavenly gift. You're offered everything, eternity, and abundance of it here while you're on earth at the same time. And you don't need to suffer. You don't need to be tortured. You don't need to have to live without. But it is impossible because the moment you cross somebody else's line, your lines are being crossed. And I think it's just as simple as shutting the door, saying no, moving and walking away. Repentance needs to be more than self-doubting notions. Repentance needs to be, you know what? It ain't working for me. I gotta go. This job ain't working out for me. This demographic, this relationship, you know, I'm not getting anywhere in life. I'm just not seeing the growth that I'm expecting God to be in my life. I've got to go. Repentance is about self-control, being capable of knowing when to say yes and knowing when to say no. Some individuals, you got to outright tell them no. I don't care if they're offering you the world and back. You got to be capable of saying no. You know what? It's okay. I've got my own. I'm not interested in what you're offering. I've got me. I've got mine. I'm going to take care of mine. And I think that maturity is that mindset. You emotionally, physically, spiritually, economically, including substance-wise, are capable of handling yourself and taking care of your own. And if you take care of your own within that sense of I'm storing my treasures in heaven, I'm going to make it there, then I don't think you got anything to worry about. But then again, a lot of us were incapable, we're not competent, and our reliance is somewhat of a twisted aspect of a moral empathy, how social empathy should be more relevant than us finding our own eternity. Remember bearing your own cross and some of the value that you can find within that. Hebrews 6:4. Job 33:30, to bring back his soul from the pit, that he may be lighted with the light of life. Because light is what? Life is life, right? And in the darkness is death. We're reminded of that. I think it's way early. We're in a Bible study. There's a catechism. This is a Bible study. Get to go to Sunday school. Yay, right? So we're reminded of this, to bring back his soul from the pit. Because when we make decisions to where it is impossible, we are no longer enlightened. Those are decisions that we made. We go into the pits of hell. We start experiencing things in this world that we wouldn't have to experience. Ooh, that's outright down and dirty. I wonder why that person's going through what they're going through. They probably made a mistake. Now, rest assured, consent is valuable. Unconditional love, God is love, love is life. But you can't control other individuals making decisions in your life. What you can control is the decisions that you've made and how they affect you, how they affect your family, how they affect others. Think about it. If you want fulfillment, if you seek eternity, you want to be blessed, you want to be redeemed, you don't want to suffer. Those are the type of entities you're going to invite within your life. So when you hear me confess this morning and you say that I want to be surrounded by individuals that are giving, that are blessed, they're not taking for granted anybody, they're not making decisions on one another, and they know how to live a God-living life, love, right? And love, life, etc., then that's the type of crowd that I'm inviting within my life. Now, of course, consent means consent, but you can't control other individuals making decisions on you or for you so that he may be lighted with the light of life. That's a tough one. Some of us are lit with the light of darkness, and it's seeped right on in, and it's ruined us. It's grabbed a hold of our heart, soul, and mind, and we have nothing to say or nowhere to go. There is no place for us in heaven anymore. Our eternity has been given. Our soul doesn't exist. So one of the worlds that I've existed in is the moment you cross those boundaries, your soul is now theirs and they get to keep your soul. It gets a little bit different and you'll never get to be happy, but it definitely works in a sense of thoroughness. Psalms 97:4, his lightings light up the world, the earth sees and trembles. And so why do we tremble? Do you think it's a sense of when you hear the word trembling, are we falling to our knees? Are we captive? Or is it more of the world, we're trembling, we're humble, it's mercy, it's thank you. The chains of sin, wickedness, and death have been lifted off of us. Instead of the strife, the sorrow, the agony, and some of the pain and the hate that we can be experiencing, we're trembling, not in fear, but trembling in love. We're rejoicing, we're proclaiming that he is the testament and the one that set us free. Well, I'm not sure about you, but think about this world and think about the example I gave this morning. My confession is that I embrace the holiness, the gospel, the joy, the happiness that can be found within Christ. You know, I believe in Christ, so I don't suffer. I don't have to live without. I have an abundance. I have fulfillment. I have outright everything. That is the life that I lead. It's the life that I practice. And I bring that on into my heart, soul, and mind, hold it near and dear to my heart. And that's the life that I lead with. And the other hand, the other person that I was referencing, well, they don't. In fact, they believe in the grass ain't greener on the other side. They believe in condemnation. They believe in judging. They believe in pointing it out and ridiculing and saying that the grass isn't greener on the other side and not having a reference to God. They believe in condemnation and judging. So anything you believe in, and you know you believe in it, not only because you testify it, you confess it, but that's the actual walk that you walk in, it's right for you. So if you start raping somebody else, you're going to get raped. It's right for you. You start forgiving somebody else. You start having hope, faith, charity. You're giving to those that are in need. You're trying to help in every way, shape, and form. It's going to come back to you. They're going to start helping you. And I know that sounds so immature, though, doesn't it? And you think about the advancement of life as we progress and we're climbing the ladder. I'm doing for others and this is going to be done for me. You're reaping and sowing. Yes, absolutely. But isn't that so true? So now you don't have anything to worry about. Unless, of course, the life you're leading, the darkness has gone beyond, seeping in, and you're outright distraught. Well, the grass ain't greener on the other side, and I got a point to prove. Regardless of what life you're living, denomination, ethnicity, race, demographics, belief, it better be right for you. Whatever you say, whatever you think, what you've got going on, and there isn't somebody standing over you that's going to condemn you and judge you. I'm going to throw this word choice at you and it's going to make you be relevant to the world that you've believed in. I don't think so. I've still got Christ. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I don't have anything to worry about. But the moment that you being alive comes at a cost and expense of anybody, and think about beyond eye for eye, life for life, well, I lost seconds of life because you were alive. I'm not willing to lose seconds of life because you're alive. You gotta go. Think about what I'm saying. You're inviting that in on your life. So if you got what you wanted, and how do you know what you want? It's only a proclamation of the confession of the life that you're leading, the path that you're walking. Well, that's on you. It's not on somebody else. So if you got what you wanted, would you be happy? I would hope and pray so. You would imagine most of us seek eternity. And if not, oh my goodness, it's not shame. It's got to be ownership. You own the life that you lead, not anybody else. And that's extreme, but I think it works. Hebrews 6:3, and this we will do if God permits. So we're only allowed to do things that God permits. But we reference this and that exact statement because he knows we're going to be trembling. He knows we're going to be falling. And we're allowed to make mistakes because that's where the hallelujah comes into play. Yes, he is risen. He is risen indeed. One of the most famous notions for hallelujah. But hallelujah in this case is even within the darkness, he's still working on you. He's still trying to get you back to square one if that's where you need to be. Having it to where the truth is setting you free, your heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit, and thought, word, and deed. You don't have to suffer, nor do you need to be the reason somebody else is suffering. So it was within his will that you might start suffering or make somebody else suffer, because what goes around comes around, and a life for a life, an eye for eye, I think is that mindset. And have tasted the goodness of the world, or of the word, of God and the powers of the age to come. So now you know what blessings are in store for you. You know what he's got for you, and you know what's yet to come. That's amazing though, isn't it? So a lot of us believe that heaven is not on earth, but heaven is for real. And I don't want to be that one that gets left behind. So within that mindset, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to live without. And there shall be no way in shape and form shall your purest form of confession be that I believe in the darkness that seeps within me, corrupts me, and I'm no longer forgiven. So if you believe in God and you believe in Christ and you believe in the Holy Spirit, and this enactment is special, it is purposeful, it is tailored, it is exclusive to each and every one of you, your life, your purpose, the morale, the dreams, ethic, the eternal mindset and quest of your own life, then you shall not have anything to worry about. Do you have to share your eternity? You don't. Do you have to share your life without consent? The answer would be no, you don't. So consent comes into play with unconditional love and what you have to offer and what you have to give. How do I know I'm doing right though? Right? I've walked down this road before, these trials, these tribulations. And remember the you gotta go mindset. Sometimes packing up your bag, putting up a suitcase, putting it around your shoulder and walking away, it takes you a whole lot further than you could ever imagine. Because you don't have to live without, because you're capable of saying goodbye. If at any point in time, and I think that this is a good reminder for each and every one of us, at any point in time in life, any season, any age, relationship, demographic, personally or professionally, the point where you get to the plateau, the peak at the top of the mountain, I don't have God and Christ, they're not available. I can't find fulfillment. I'm not going to have sustainment. It's only leading me astray. I'm suffering. I'm living without in some way, shape, or form. Remember, I got to go. And don't be mad at other individuals. Don't be hating on them. I've got to go. No, I've got to leave. No, he's got something in store for me. No, God's got dreams for me. You know what? I got to go find my eternity. It ain't just going to get thrown in my lap. I've got to go out there and seek it. Seek and ye shall find. And I think that is the morale of the mindset. I seek eternity. How do you know that you're forgiven? It's within the way I walk, the way I talk, the way I respond. I'm not condemning others. I'm not pushing blame. I'm not putting my nose where it doesn't belong. In fact, I'm righteously so, as a child continuing to learn, humbly, mercy, thank you, within his hands. I'm putting it back to him. I'm trying to advance within my life so that I can find a sense of growth. I want to have life. I don't want to have death. So within the light, you get life. Within the darkness, you have death and it's sorrow. And somebody said it's outright like sludge. I'm not really sure. It's going to be a little bit extreme. Saddens you on life. It worries you. A saddened oppression. Darkens the haze that's around you. It can be extreme though, can it? But it's the life that you invite in your life that is relevant. And you live it, you believe in it, you proclaim it. Nobody in this world, their confession should ever be, I don't have a choice. I was put up against a wall and they told me this is how I have to live. I'm not allowed to have God and Christ in my life. I'm not allowed to have fulfillment. I'm not allowed. What do you mean you're not allowed? Do you believe in Christ? Then you are forgiven. You are saved. You are redeemed. The chains of sin and wickedness and death have been lifted off of you. And furthermore, if we shall take it very well to that mindset, right? To that mindset, if God and Christ were to ever be prevented from being in your life professionally or personally at any venue or stage of life, you can seek legal action. You shall seek legal action. They can't prevent them from being within your life. You have a right to practice your religion that you believe in, especially when it doesn't come at the cost and expense of somebody else. So no form of life or hobby or interest, right? Any sense of being alive, breathing, if you would, the heartbeat, a pulse, should come at a cost and expense of your fellow brothers and sisters or of God's creations. But if it shall or it does, and it's a morality thing. I made a decision. Somebody else was afflicted. They shouldn't have said that. Or you know what? You shouldn't have did that. It's what you find to be appeasing in your life. You don't need individuals judging one another. You don't even need judges. If somebody makes a mistake, you know the fact behind that mistake. Well, you made a mistake. I'm not mad at you. You made a mistake. And I'm grasping the logic and the theory and the reason as the principle as why you're living life. So the mistake you made, you thought that this girl could continue to cheat or sleep behind his back, and you wanted to play with her while he was asleep. Well, now the same score and measure that you use for him is going to be the same score and measure that you found to be valuable in life. So now when it happens to you, you're not going to be scorned or bitten. You're not going to be upset. You're not allowed to threaten anybody or to hurt anybody. That's the type of life that you found to be valuable. And that's what's going to happen to you. It's going to be a life for life in this world. It's going to be eye for eye. It isn't about what creature can or can't do for you. It's about Christ. He has forgiven you. You are redeemed. You're not walking around scorned and bitten by, well, the grass ain't greener on the other side. I'm going to see if I can, let me get you back real quick. That's the devil talking. You know what? I ain't mad at you, by the way. The devil's going to see if he can get you back real quick. He ain't mad at you. He ain't mad at you. He's just going to get you back real quick, and he's going to keep you. No, I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be redeemed, and I'm not going to deal with any of those problems. I think it's a good reference, so let me get you back real quick. Job 33:31, pay attention. Oh, Job, listen to me. Be silent, and I will speak. And sometimes we don't have to say a whole lot, right? And you'd hear individuals reference the ones that are quiet. Those are the ones you got to worry about. But where's the purest form of devotion, of that daily devotion to where they are progressing within this world? No more than within the testament that I'm at peace, contentment, that the heart, soul, mind, a thought, word, and deed is fulfilling me. I don't want to be led astray, and I shall not be led astray. So think about your devoted testament, your priorities, what you seek, and where you're actually going. I wouldn't want to cross somebody else's lines, because when I cross their lines, immediately I'm giving them consent to cross mine. And no means no, by the way. You shall have privacy. Do you got to go to extremes to keep somebody out of your life? Well, I did some work for the government about 6-7 years ago. I was awarded safe houses, and I've got AI, and I don't have to deal with anybody. I said no digital, and it's auto-correcting. I've also got quantum physics computing. This is something that I earned myself. I'd hate to see it go to waste. I ain't got to use it within these last years. I mean, they outright owe me. Otherwise, everything that they're working for doesn't mean anything, and they never get to accomplish anything. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Somebody said eye for eye. It must be life for life. Very, very good relevance, right? Yes, of course. So anyways, you don't go to extremes to tell individuals no. You say no once and that's it. And the moment that no doesn't have any relevance, you're capable of changing that life because God's given you the power, the ability to not only shun, but to strike and down, to put lacerations, to condemn, if you would. Shall we condemn? No, we shouldn't. But if they believe in that form of life, then that's the form of life that they shall have. So I like nuns. I like sisters. Lord, forgive me. There's quite a few of them that I'm used to seeing. And then when I first got introduced to certain groups of them, there was one group, they just took it there. Whatever you ask for, and then asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find. Who are you? What are you looking for? Where are you going, or where did you come from? I think it's a sense of relevance. Remember the testament of pure devotion, who you are. That's what you shall have. every response that you shall ever have. And there was a nun and there was a sister there. That's what you shall have. If that's what you want, that's what you shall have. And you'll notice this. You talk to some of the elders in this world, and I promise you, their purest form of devotion near the end of their life, their hour of death, I guess you got what you wanted. And so if life is no made up of no more than what you've wanted and seeking, and you shall find, ask and you shall receive, why you're not happy within the life that you're leading, remove the barriers, remove the limitations, and think about the purest form. Is my wants and needs a direct reflection of what he wants for me? And they shall be, and they should be, because that's the reason why I'm alive. It's the reason why I'm believing. And if it is not, and I'm alive for a different purpose or a different reason, it shall not be at the cost and expense of anybody else. Seek and ye shall find is more of a sense of deliverance. I am saved. I am redeemed. I don't want to deal with the inequity, and I choose to be thankful. Thankful for the life that I'm leaving or that I'm leading. So remember not to cross boundaries and to treat others the way that you want to be treated. By the way, just in case you were wondering, whether you are righteous or whether you are evil, whether you are good or whether you are bad, the moment it's not about Christ, you're not forgiven. The moment it's not about being within the light, about keeping your hands to yourself, right? And think about what I'm saying, having sustainment, right? Consent. You don't put your nose where it don't belong. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. The moment it is not about that and you step outside of those guidelines, there's individuals, they're called enforcers. You don't have to walk into a courthouse and have somebody slam a gavel down on a table and now you're condemned for life. There are individuals in this world, true outright power, that the moment you start crossing lines, and there can be a group of you that cross lines together, you'll no longer be happy. You're no longer get to get experience life. You're no longer going to get to have light. In fact, it'll be the exact opposite, but they wait for you. They wait for you because they know you're going to make that mistake. So there ain't nothing for free. That's the mindset, the mentality. But of course, if you only make decisions on self and it's about well-being for yourself and taking care of your own, you'll never have anything to worry about. The moment you start making decisions on anybody else, on them or for them, and they lose so much as a breath, well, then life for life, you shall lose breath. And it goes right back to them. You don't have anything to worry about. That is the testament. You believe in Jesus Christ. You believe in God. You are saved. You are redeemed. But yet, of course, if the only aspect of life you're offering is I'm going to take this from you, it's creature taken and it's not God given, you shall lose everything. Well, then that's what you shall have. So you deal with yourself in this world because he's within you in heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed, and it is nobody else. And it becomes relevant because you lead that life. I apologize for being rushed this morning. I got to go off to the races. I'm going to close in prayer. Don't forget to follow on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Check out the Buzzsprout feed. You'll be enlightened by some of the different talks and some of the enactments that we have going on throughout the day today. If today being the day of the Sabbath, the only day that you can reference it, look to find him within every enactment. Remember, God-given, not creature taking. It's okay to say no. In fact, most cases, you have to repent, return the other cheek, and continue to find him. If you seek him within that relationship, you'll have fulfillment. If you seek creature, it'll probably be at a loss. Let me close in prayer. Our graciously Heavenly Father and Christ, our Savior, Redeemer, with strength, guidance, knowledge, love, passion, grace, devotion, let us find the pureness of joy, of happiness, of the bountiful harvest, of every bit of the abundance that you can fulfill us with. Let our purest form of light be a direct reflection of the love and compassion, the forgiveness that you have for us, so that we can have that type of enactment for one another. Remind us that consent, unconditional love, repentance, forgiveness, these enactments enable us with free will to make the right decisions so that we can be blessed, so that we can be redeemed, so that we can be forgiven. Remind us not to cross personal boundaries and to turn our heads to look the other way and to only involve ourselves with matters that belong to him. And if everything that we know belongs to him and we shall give it back to him, then we shall find fulfillment. We shall seek joy and we shall seek happiness with love, compassion, and grace in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening and thank you for your continued support and donations. Have a very, very blessed day. Seek and find God and he will find you within that enactment. You are saved. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. Amen.